Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Monday. We begin a new broadcast week here on the Bible study, a very special broadcast week because, well, what's coming up on Thursday? All the little children are probably shouting, "It's Halloween, don't you know anything?" Well, no, it's Reformation week. The Feast of the Reformation comes up on Thursday, All Souls Eve. You know, commemoration of the faithful departed. All these great things. This is the signal of a great year starting, well, a great portion of the church year begins with Reformation Day and the All Souls commemoration. And this week we're going to take on a very special task, a little bit of a departure from our regular assigned duties here. We're going to take a pause and we're going to take a look at the great solas of the Reformation: grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, and Christ alone. There's supposed to be five of them. And you might say, well, that was only four. Well, the fifth one is Soli Deo Gloria, solely to the glory of God. All these things are being done. So we will do today grace. Tomorrow we will do faith. Then on Wednesday will be scripture. Thursday will be Christ alone. Then Friday, a very special program, something that might come as a bit of a curveball. We're going to talk about works, good works, with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we get back to our work, our regular assignment in the book of Romans, 1 week from today, Monday following next week. Joining me this morning, I can't think of a better guy to kick this off. This is delightful for me and a great gift. Pastor Nabil Noor is here, fifth vice president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. Good morning, my friend, and early birthday wishes to you.
Thank you, my dear brother. Glorious morning to you in the name of the only Savior who gives us more grace than we deserve.
Absolutely. Well, tomorrow is your birthday. Sorry we couldn't make the timing work out better, so take this as an early gift.
Why are you apologizing? You know, the Holy Spirit has his own divine agenda. Let's not interrupt him.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. I'm just trying to be gracious. I think he would encourage that.
I know you are. You're trying to give me grace then today. Thank you. I take that to heart, dear brother. I take it to heart.
Well, how are you? How goes everything in your new assignment as fifth vice president? I hope all is well.
It really is. You know, one of the great blessings we have is we have leaders who are grounded in the truth that is unmovable and unshakable. That is the scripture and the confessions. And I'm so humbled to be able to sit at the feet of such wonderful servants. Though they are sinners, but they're servants. My first experience around the table with the Presidium was St. Matthew, the president, saying, "Let's grab your Greek Bibles." And we went through and we studied a chapter of the book of Galatians. And I believe that will be our normal beginning. And what a beginning to begin the service of God in the Word. It brought tears to my eyes and joy to my heart. And all I can say is thanks be to God for the leadership where we rely solely on the Word that guides and leads and directs and opens the gates to heaven for us.
When you look at terms like grace and faith and scripture and justification and sanctification, you know, these are great Lutheran vocabulary words. We all know them. But do we really understand what these words mean? Do we really understand the importance that these were words that meant things for which people were willing to die and sacrifice everything they had?
Well, let me make one little footnote. These are not Lutheran words. We have borrowed them and we made them ours, but they are biblical words. What you're talking about is found in the scripture. Luther, as the Holy Spirit led him deep into the gold mine of the scripture, he unearthed gold that had been hidden by traditions, by rites, by activities that were covered for years and years and years. And the laymen and laywomen never knew it until God stirred his heart. And he went swimming into the scripture. And the more he studied, he just could not contain the joy that filled his heart. So these are not Lutheran words. Just go to the scripture and you will find justification, grace alone, scripture alone. It says that from the beginning to the end of the Bible. We use them to make them known to others. Sadly, we live in a time now that we are going back in time, that we are no longer having the concept of what these biblical truth or golden nuggets used to be, because we live in the me generation. I have an opinion, and my opinion is higher than Christ's opinion. And that's where we fall flat on our face, rather than letting Scripture explain itself. We try to explain Scripture.
Let's begin with prayer, and let's as you sign all of your correspondence, I believe, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria.
Correct. To God alone be the glory. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O merciful, compassionate, gracious, loving Savior, you came to earth not to be served, but to serve. You served us so much that you were willing to humble yourself even to the point of death, death on a cross. As we begin this week of the Reformation, reliving what Luther went through and the solas he spoke about, we ask for an extra measure of your Holy Spirit, for wisdom, for discernment, for the ability to convey the truth, not an opinion that matters to me, but that which you have inscribed by the Holy Spirit through the authors of Scripture, for the salvation of souls, and for the building up of your kingdom. Be present with my dear brother and Saint Roland, and all of those who will be listening across the waves, whether here or across the ocean or in a different continent. May their ears be open to the gospel, that eternal gospel that changes not. And if anyone doubts about the gift of salvation, may your Spirit poke them today. Remove every dust and every cobweb and fill them with your Spirit so that they may bend the knee, bow the head, and confess Jesus Christ is Lord and God. It is in his name and for his sake that we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to join us during this discussion of grace alone, 821-0850 here in the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727 from all points, hither and yon, and well beyond. Also, the email works great. It's up and running right now, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's begin this lesson with, let me quote you something from Luther's Small Catechism, and I think this starts out well for the week. The deplorable, miserable conditions which I recently observed when visiting the parishes have constrained and pressed me to put this catechism of Christian doctrine into brief, plain, and simple form. And I jump a little bit ahead. It says, the common man, especially in the villages, knows practically nothing of Christian doctrine, and many of the pastors are almost entirely incompetent and unable to teach. Well, what's changed in 500 years?
There was a time, dear brother, when Luther began the movement of the Reformation, not only of 1517, but more importantly on June the 25th of 1530, when the lay people stood up against Charles and said, these are the things we believe, confess, and teach, and we will not deny it. And if you so choose, you may cut our heads off. What has happened is that those people hungered for the word, thirsted for the word, and began to be student of the word. In the West, in this country, we live in affluent nation. We are one of the richest nations in the world. And where richness is found, the church suffers. What do I mean by that? The church does not grow because God is not needed. The material things we have take away the things we need. You go to the underground churches in Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, all of those underground churches under the severest persecution, they are growing because they are hungering for the word. They cannot get enough. That's what has happened here. We have become so affluent that we have no need for God, and we have lost what it means to be grounded in the word. There was a time, and you think, why did the Lutherans come to this country in the 1800s, the Prussian movement? Why? Because there in Germany, after the Reformation, the movement that we broke away from the Catholics, and I'm not trying to pick on any Catholics, please forgive, that's not the point. My point is to say, when we broke away because we are holding on to the truth, as Luther did, the state wanted to make it a mandatory law that they only preach that which the state desired. And they says, we cannot do that. We must preach what Christ has shared for us. And so what we need to remember, the movement of the Lutherans that came to this country and left everything was grounded in the Word. What is happening right now, we are not grounded in the Word. We worry more about the stock market and retirement and 401 activities that's going on rather than fighting for the truth of that Word.
So how important is grace alone to the understanding of the full context of Lutheran theology?
If you do not understand grace alone, you do not understand the whole of Scripture. You know, just think for just a moment, dear brother, what it says simply in John 3:16. It is one of the most familiar verses in all of Scripture. Every child, every teenager, every young adult, every young couple, every senior citizen know that. And it says this, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's grace. There is absolutely nothing you need to do. The believer's certainty is just and holy without any works, without any contributions, without anything. Justification is given solely by grace alone on account of Christ alone. For God loved the world that he gave. And unless you understand that, you have no concept what it means to be saved. Let me bring this home to you. You know that right now, to go to the seminary is costly and very expensive.
Oh, yes.
You know that some of our seminarians come out from both of the seminaries anywhere between $60,000 to $100,000 worth of debt.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
I don't know the average, but I'm thinking this is where the callus is here, somewhere between $60,000 to $100,000. In our district, a young pastor came to this congregation. He had a total debt of $49,000. One of the members of the congregation went to him, wrote a check, and gave him the full amount to pay the debt. That is grace. This pastor didn't do anything. He just come to this congregation. He hadn't even served them for 10 or 15 years. He had only been there for a month or so. But this man and his wife felt that it is imperative that this pastor should not be burdened by the weight of his debt. And thus he paid it. That is grace. He didn't ask for the gift. He didn't say, I need some help. He didn't say any of that. That's grace. That's charis in the Greek. Given solely out of the abundance and goodness of this man, because God in Christ has given to him grace that he may not be burdened with the sins, but rather to be free to serve God and people. That is grace, my dear brother.
Let's break that out a little bit further, Pastor Noor. When you talk about grace, is it the action of doing something? Is it a thing? Is it a feeling? Is it an attitude? What is grace?
On the person who receives it or the person who gives it? What's your question?
Both. Both.
The person who gives it exposes himself in that it is the unconditional and unexpected love given out of no reason. He loves you so much, and so therefore grace is given. For us, there is nothing that we need to do except by faith receive this gift and apply it to us. Let me go back to the story to tell you what I mean by that.
All right.
We talked about this young man who received this gift, right?
Yes.
Now, the man wrote the check for $49,000 for this pastor. Now, the pastor had a choice. He takes this check and deposits it, or he may go back to the man and say, what must I do to do this? This is grace. By faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe what Christ has given to me to be valid, secure, and concrete. By faith, I open my hand and cling to it. By faith, I apply it to my soul. By faith, I cherish it as the most treasured thing. Just like this pastor took the check in good faith, realizing that this man has the capacity to pay for it without any doubts, so you and I, in faith, cling to the promise of God that he has saved me by grace alone without any merits of my own. There is nothing that I need to do. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your work, it is the gift of God, durion in the Greek, that is a gift. You didn't do anything. You didn't ask for it. It was given. So there's nothing on the part of the recipient except to hold it through the arms of faith and to believe that this Savior is strong enough, powerful enough, good enough to keep his word to do what he said.
Is the grace that we receive from God different? And if so, how is it different from the grace we can express to one another, like writing that $49,000 check?
Repeat the question, please.
Is the grace we receive from God any different? And if so, how so is it different from the grace we can express to each other, like writing the check for the $49,000 in debt?
Absolutely. The grace of God given to us cannot be measured in monetary. It is a grace that brings about salvation. What this man did to help this pastor is different because this pastor will be in debt for something else. But the grace that God has given to you and to me is different. There is no more burdens of sin. The sin is there, but the grace of God covers everything that I have because he gave me his robes of righteousness. And so Satan has no hold of me. The grave cannot hold me. The world cannot convict me. I am free, free to serve and enjoy this gift of grace in a manner that I cannot fathom. And the good thing about it, unlike this man who gave the $49,000, once that $49,000 is spent, there is no more. God's grace is eternal. It's not a one-time deal. It's every single day. Grace can never be spent. It's new every day.
So whereas your patience may run out with me at some point,
oh yeah,
it never happens with God.
Not for the sake of Christ. No. I often teach in my confirmation class, dear brother, when God looks at you and me, he does not see me. Christ stands right in front of me. And what God sees is the wholeness and the purity and the work of his Son shed on Calvary's cross. And that's how grace becomes mine. You know, we use an acronym, right? Grace, G-R-A-C-E.
Yes.
God's richest or God's resources at Christ's expense. if you take your right hand, open it up, the palm with the spread like this, that's me. Now take your left hand and put it on top of the other, and that is Christ standing in the presence of the holy judge. That's what God sees. He does not see me. There's nothing in me that's good. Absolutely none. I'm a filthy scum. I'm a dirt. I'm a worm. I'm filth to the core. I stink more than a hyena. But by the grace of God, I have his white robes of righteousness that covers me and presents me to God as a beautiful bride adorned with all her beauty, with all of her majesty, with all of the joy that is going on. That is what we have. That is the grace that you and I have received from God our Savior, because he blesses us without any merits of our own. Absolutely none of our own.
We have just a couple of minutes before the break, Pastor Noor, but I'm going to give you the $64,000 question early. If God is so merciful as to give us this grace freely, even while we're unworthy, as you pointed out in such graphic terms, why is it that man perceives God to be angry and not loving?
Do you want me to start now, or do you want to go after the break?
You got 2 minutes, and then we'll go to the break.
Well, humanly speaking, we do not see God from his perspective as loving, because by virtue of the fallen world we live in, okay? By virtue of the fallen world we live in, we always think if we do right, we get credit for that. And if we don't do right, then we're going to be clobbered by the head with a baseball bat. We have been taught this ever since. What do we say? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't go there, don't touch, don't do this, right?
Yes.
On the other hand, God's grace is, I have done this for you. And this is the spiritual fighting against the natural. The physical does not understand the spiritual. It's a foreign language. If I switch right now talking to you, and I can in a heartbeat, but for the sake of time, in English, if I speak right now with you in Arabic, what benefit is that to you?
Well, other than being a bit entertaining, not very much.
Very good. What if I spoke with you in Greek or in Hebrew or in French? What benefit is that to you?
Very little.
Very little. God's language is a foreign language. And unless you learn to read that language of love, of mercy, of forgiveness, you don't appreciate it. I did not appreciate the Greek language because it was such a challenge. But the more I study it, the more I love it, because it opens to me windows. I'm inside the house and I look outside from every angle at this position and at this position and this tree and this field. And this is how I understand God. Because you cannot fathom God. The Apostle Paul writes, who can comprehend the wisdom of God? Who is able to discern? He is so high, so tall, so wide, so deep. Who of us is able? We cannot understand that. Why? Because it's a foreign language. When was the last time you were downtown and somebody gave you $100 or $1,000?
That's never happened.
Never has happened. That's the ways of the world. But you open the scripture and you see day after day God pouring his grace upon you. Walk through the Garden of Eden and you see God giving grace, going after Adam and Eve, covering their sins. Look at Noah. God protected him within the ark. Think of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, how God gave them grace after grace. Think of Moses and Joshua and Judges. And
Let's pick up that list on the other side of the break. Pastor Nabil Noor is here. Today is Grace Alone. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates. Join me for the next Faith and Family, where we'll talk with experts and everyday people about topics pertinent to faithful family life. Listen to Faith and Family Live weekdays at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Have you ever missed the live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, and it's convenient, and you will never miss another program. KFUO is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
It's time once again for the warehouse sale at Concordia Publishing House this Saturday, November 2nd from 8 a.m. until noon. Choose from a large selection of items for all ages. You'll find teaching resources, children's books, Bibles, Bible studies, bulletins, music, and much more. Concordia Publishing House is located at 3558 South Jefferson, just south of I-44. Again, it's the Concordia Publishing House sale this Saturday, 8 a.m. until noon. While you're in the same building, stop by and visit the Concordia Christian Books and Gift Store.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. If you joined us a little bit late this morning and the program today sounds a little bit different, well, it's Reformation Week. Congratulations. You've made it to yet another Reformation Week as we close in on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we're going to depart from our study of Romans for just a few days here. We're going to take a look at grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, Christ alone. And then on Friday, we're going to take a look at works. And joining me on Friday will be Dr. Carl Fekencher from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, a great resource for talking about things like works. But our guest this morning is Pastor Nabil Noor. He's 5th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as well as pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota, a longtime regular here on the Bible study. And the task assigned to him today was to explain to us what this thing called grace is. And you were giving this long list as we went to the break of all these people that have experienced God's grace. Is there anyone else you want to add to that list, or did you pretty much wrap it up?
Well, I think of a young man who is sitting at a radio station in St. Louis by the name of Roland.
Who, me?
I think of myself as a Palestinian who came out of Nazareth, who have never heard the gospel until I came to this country. And while I went to church, for the first time at age 16, I heard the gospel. You talk about tears coming down, because for the first time, I heard somebody did something for me without me doing something. All my life, I had tried to please my mom and dad and my family so that I can win their favor, yet God gave me their favor without me doing anything. And if you think that is not something, boy, I'll tell you what, it's humbling. That God wants you to know how much He loves you. And when that gospel is proclaimed and it falls into the rich soil of your heart and you see Christ's love displayed on the canvas of human history on the cross for you, not for the world, for you, then you comprehend what grace is all about. And until you understand that, grace means nothing to you.
Well, do we resist understanding what grace is? Because to affirm God's grace, isn't that the same thing as declaring that we're completely helpless, that we can do nothing on our own? Who wants to be helpless?
Yes. I'll say it again. Yes.
So it's a good thing to be helpless.
That's right.
Well, try and sell that with a bag of chips.
What did I say a few moments ago, dear brother? The physical and the spiritual are enmity. We don't have to teach kids to be independent. You have two girls.
Yes.
God bless them and you and your wife as you teach them the truth. But go back when they were 2 years old. Did you have to teach them to say, me do it, or mine? How did they learn that?
I don't know. They must have had a bad example.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, that's within you.
Of course.
And that's what I'm talking about. The natural way of our lives is thinking, I can do it. We want to take God's position. We want to be gods. Seriously put, we want to be gods. We want to tell God what is good and what is bad, and I don't need Him because I earn my salvation. And that's how the devil tempts us. Go back to the Garden of Eden for just a moment. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Everything is so beautiful. It's a beautiful garden. They are walking naked in the newt colony, the first one, by the way. They are happy as happy can be. All the animals around them, the sun is shining, the stars are pretty, the flowers and the blooms of every tree is there. They were so content. And then Satan comes and he twists something and he says, have you considered this one tree? Everything that was before them was so beautiful until Satan said, oh, but what about that tree in the middle? They didn't pay any attention to that because they were so content. They were so content to be comforted in the activities of being in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, until Satan said, hey, you need to do this. And all of a sudden, excuse my English, all hell breaks loose. And we have not stopped trying to tell God what we know, that it is better than he knows. And that's the problem when we don't grasp grace, because we have no concept of what that means to receive something for nothing.
Pastor Neuer, we have a full board of phone calls. People want to get in and ask you questions about grace. Are you ready for some calls?
Let's begin.
All right. Let's start with Larry, who's been waiting the longest. Then we'll go to Cheryl, then to Rick, and then on down the line as we go. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Neuer.
Blessed morning, St. Larry. So good to hear your voice.
Your cup runneth over, my brother.
Amen to that. I know what grace is all about. I received it. I am swimming in it. I bask in it. And I can never expose all of it.
Two quick points. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We know the verses. There is no caveat that says through the gospel we have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, is there, Pastor?
Not at all. Absolutely none. Let me share with you. I did a search on what Luther said in relation to activities of grace. He said, we receive absolution, forgiveness, and grace at no cost or labor on our part, but not without cost and labor on the part of Christ. Let's not confuse things. He had done it for me. I don't have to do anything. It is a dorian. It is a gift.
It is finished. Secondly,
finished.
You gave a wonderful example earlier, and you probably didn't even realize it, that tongue speaking is of no use. Roland admitted he couldn't understand any of those foreign languages. Tongue speaking of today is of no use, it says, Paul says to the church at Corinth. Thank you, my brothers.
Thank you, and may the Lord continue to bless you and pour upon you grace upon grace, my dear saint.
All right, we move from St. Louis to Indianapolis, Indiana, and Cheryl's been waiting. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hi.
Good morning, St. Cheryl.
Hi. I was prepared for the other Bible verses, but in so doing, I looked at Psalm 69, verse 17, and Psalm 22, and Psalm 69, 17, hide not your face from your servant, and Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? That the Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, all this, God took this blessing away from, he said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. God took that blessing away from his son so we could have the grace.
Right on the money. You are a good, you have a great foundation understanding of what grace is all about. God took that which was Christ and gave it to us, and took what we had and gave it to his son. Luther calls that the great exchange, where the wealth of the kingdom of heaven is given to sinners like us, and Christ is marred and branded with every stench of sin. I often ask my confirmand, who is the greatest sinner in the world? And some mention Stalin, some mention Hitler. I says, no, you are wrong. The greatest sinner is Christ, because he took every sin upon himself, yours, mine, and the whole world. And he paid the penalty, and that's why he cries, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why? Why, for the love of God, would you turn your beautiful face from me? Dear Daddy, what have I done? God couldn't even look at him. He turns around, and he dies, so that you and I may see the face of God and live. That is grace.
Cheryl, thanks for the call this morning. All right, continuing on, let's go to Rick. Rick, thank you for waiting patiently. You're next.
Hey, Roland. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
Pastor Brother Saint Norbeel, the first time you heard the gospel at 16, that's the way I feel about this program that we have. I've been so blessed to be able to hear it on a regular basis over the past decade, and it's been such a blessing. And this I heard a couple of weeks ago when you mentioned earlier that if you were the only one, and we've all probably heard that many, many times, but a couple of weeks ago I heard a gentleman saying that he told that to a group of people, and one young boy spoke up and said, well, if you were the only one, that means you're the one that nailed him to the cross. And wow, did it ever hit home then? And you talk about grace on top of grace on top of grace. That's what it is. We are the ones that put him there. But yet his love is grace. Like you said, the $49,000, it's going to run out. But his grace, no. And I thank you so much for walking the walk you walk. And Roland, you, everyone there at the station. God bless.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Saint Rick. You made my day. Let me share this story. I am the one who nailed him to the cross. But let me share a story that has given me grace beyond measure, that truly exemplify what grace is all about and what transformation in our lives that occurs, and not only the act of justification that Christ has done for us, but the act of sanctification, living for the Savior. I've shared the story, and I may have shared it, Roland, on the air, but it's worthy of repeating. At one point where they were able to sell slaves, they had this beautiful young lady, 16, 17, 18, she was being sold on the auction block. She was the last one, and the bid was going higher and higher, and everybody would come and check her over, open her mouth and look at her teeth and touch her everywhere. And the bid went really, really high. Finally, there was one man who just kept bidding higher and higher and higher and higher. Finally, the bid was given to him. He bought her. When he bought her, he went to her and said, I have paid for you. You are free. Here are your papers. Go and live as a free woman. She knelt down and she said, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Grace worked in the life of this young lady as this man freed her from the burden of being a slave, to be abused by those who held her captive. But this man freed her. And out of her joy for what he had done, she gladly would serve him for the rest of her life. When you appreciate and know what grace is all about, you serve your Lord to the best of your ability by the grace of God and through His Spirit, proclaiming the truth of our salvation, that we have been saved on account of Christ's sacrificial and costly love that helps us know we are His, not for just a little bit, but for the rest of our lives.
Pastor Noor, why at times do some people refer to grace as being cheap, and what makes grace either cheap or precious?
You know, how often do we take people for granted? Now, how many years have you been married?
Almost 28.
Have you ever took your wife for granted?
Do you really want me to answer on the air? Because then
if
she'll
I
have
didn't
proof.
Want you, I wouldn't have asked you.
Yes, I have, almost daily sometimes.
So have I. And I would venture to say, if you ask everyone else, we truly take people that we love for granted. And sometimes we treat Christ in the same measure. Though He loved us, though He has done all of these things for us, we treat Him just like somebody that we know down the road, rather than the true Savior of our souls. Rather than grasping Him as the Mashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, who was set apart to be the Lamb who would take away the sin of the world, we treat Him as if He's just somebody who is close to me. And we can use Him like a genie. When things are rough and tough, that's when we want Him. But when things are going well, oh, we don't need Him that bad. That's what happened.
And on the other side of that coin, I think sometimes we treat the law the same way. We make the law cheap.
Absolutely.
And what does that do to grace if we make the law cheap?
Well, if you don't understand the law, you can't understand grace. I've been picked up before. I'm ashamed to say it, but I have been picked up for speeding, okay? I'll give you an example. I had received a phone call, and one of my parishioners was near death. So I'm driving in a 55 mile an hour speed zone, and I'm going 93 miles an hour.
Oh my.
I had my flashers on, and I'm just holding, and I'm just going as fast as I can. I saw two police cars sitting in the ditch visiting. I never stopped. I just kept going. It took them 10 miles to catch up to me. Okay?
Yes.
I knew they would, but I was going fast. I needed to get to the hospital. They could have given me a ticket. They have every right, and I was fearful of the ticket, but I was interested in getting to the hospital to be with my parishioner before God calls him home. I wanted to let him hear the word of God. The highway patrolman, when he pulled me over, said, "Young man, we appreciate what you're trying to do, but don't endanger your life. I'll give you a warning." That is appreciating the law in its severity. The law could have damned me, but He gave me grace by saying, "Please be careful. We don't want you to be another casualty by going to the hospital." The law is there for a purpose. The law points our sins, tells us what we need to do and what we cannot do. And unless you know the severity of the law, that this is expected of you, you cannot appreciate what grace is all about. Let's go back to the pastor that we used earlier in my conversation. $49,000 given to this pastor. Do you think that would have been a burden for him in his ministry?
That's hard to say. I know that it would be maybe for me.
But, I'm going to talk to you. If you had a $49,000 debt, Roland, would that be a burden for you?
Oh, the debt would absolutely be a burden,
okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. So you would have to pay that.
I would be a slave to my debt, yes.
You will be slave to that debt. That's the law. But if a man comes over and says, "Hey, Roland, I love you so much. I care about you. Here's a check for $49,000. Go pay this debt." How does that work for you?
Wonderfully.
Because now what? You are free from the burden of the law. The law is there. The demands of the law must be met. The cost of the law must be paid. Somebody had to pay it. And that payment is what Christ did for us. And we cannot forget the costly love demonstrated in Christ on Calvary's cross for a sinner like you and for me. And it is not $49,000. It is the payment for my soul. It took his life for mine. That's the beauty of what grace is. And that's when you appreciate how the law works. Because when you understand the severity of the law and the punishment of the law and the requirement of the law and you can't meet it, that's when you are able to understand the grace of God.
So what do you do with someone, and I'm sure you've heard this in the course of your ministry, who says, enough law already, just preach grace, leave the law aside?
You can't do that. You cannot give people what they think they need. They don't know what they need. You know, the good doctor, Jesus Christ, said, a man who is healthy does not need a doctor. Unless you know you are sick, that's when you appreciate the value of a doctor. I didn't know I was sick earlier this year, you know, that I had open heart surgery.
Very
I didn't
serious,
know I was
yes.
sick. When they called me to say I needed an open heart surgery, I laughed. I said, you got to be kidding. You got the wrong docket, man. That's the wrong chart. They said, no, Pastor Noor, that's you. But I didn't know I was sick that way, and it could have killed me. Thanks be to God that I wasn't killed, but my life was spared. That's grace. I appreciate the value of the doctor in my life and what he has done. And unless you understand the severity of the law, you cannot comprehend the love of the gospel. And you cannot give them just what they want. That's not what they... Well, let's go back to your two daughters. Dad, I want for breakfast ice cream. For lunch, I want pecan pie. And for supper, I want chocolate cake. Will you give them that?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm a bad father.
No, you are a loving father who is giving them what they need for good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want the best for them.
Absolutely.
Does that mean I never give them chocolate cake? No.
No.
They never get
all.
Pecan pie? No. Chocolate ice cream? No.
One thing about me, sometimes I actually, when I go, and you can ask the presidium of the South Dakota District, sometimes I have my pie before I have my supper. The first thing I order is, give me my pecan pie. And my colleague said, well, you haven't even had supper. I said, well, I'm going to eat this because I want to enjoy this just in case I don't make it. Okay, so I've shared a meal with you.
That's absolutely true. I know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a beautiful thing when you appreciate the gospel and the grace that comes to us, and that's when the law really applies. And so you realize how terrible sinner you are, but then you also understand the beauty of God's grace to you.
So when Paul talks about the power of God for salvation, he's talking about grace.
You got it. You know what the word is in Greek for power?
Dynamos.
Very good. Dynamite. I don't know who discovered the... I can't think of his name right now.
Alfred Nobel.
Okay. When he was thinking of the word to use for power, he got it from Paul. Do you know that?
Really?
Honest to goodness. If you do a search on that, he got it from St. Paul using the word dunamis for power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to the Greek. That's the power of the gospel of Christ in my life. It changes me. It makes me something that I cannot be of my own. He takes the ugly face of mine and changes it to something so sweet and gives me something that I cannot comprehend.
Hmm. If you deny grace alone, or if you somehow modify grace to say, yeah, grace alone, but maybe the sins since you've been born, that would be a different story, or however you may want to modify it.
You cannot modify it.
Well, what does that do to your assurance of salvation if it's not grace alone?
If you try to add anything to Christ, you have deleted from his majesty and his messianic ministry. Let me read another quote from Luther as we are coming to the end of the hour here.
In about 3 minutes.
Luther said, our salvation must exist not in our righteousness, but in Christ's righteousness. Let his righteousness and grace, not yours, be your refuge. A refuge is a place where we run into for comfort. If you think of the Western movies, they had a place where they can go into a place to hide. That's the refuge. We go there and we find grace in the arms of the Savior. When I was recovering from my open heart surgery, do you know how I went to sleep every night? Because I didn't know if I was going to wake up the next morning.
Luther's Evening Prayer. Yeah.
Dear Jesus, open your arms and let me sleep on your bosom. That's how I would put myself to sleep for the first week when I was hooked up to all of these machines. I think there was 20 different machines that were keeping me alive, and I didn't know from 1 hour to the next if I was going to live. Literally, I would say, sweet Jesus, open your arms, let me sleep on your bosom. And that's how I would fall asleep. And I still do that even, I did that just last night. I would still do that even now, realizing those pierced arms that have been extended on the cross of Calvary is what I have received from him, his gift of grace for me.
Why would anyone, we have a little bit less than 2 minutes, and when you hear the music come up, we'll have a few moments to go beyond that, but why would anyone seek to escape the need for grace?
Only because the old nature says, I can do it. I mean, I don't know how to expound it. I don't know how to exegete it for you. I don't know how to enable you to comprehend it. It's that old man in us who thinks he can do what he thinks he can do, if you can understand that language. We think we can earn God's favor. We think we can help him with our gift of salvation, though we know in our mind what Christ has done. But to believe it in our heart is something different. I preached a long time ago a sermon, the longest road in the world is 12 inches between your head and your heart. 12 inches is the longest road because it's hard for us to comprehend that somebody wants to do something for nothing. Anytime that somebody does something, the first question that is asked, what must I do? What do I have to do? I was doing my devotion this morning, and in Luke, it talks about this rich lawyer who comes to Jesus, and he said to him, what must I do to inherit
eternal life?
Inheritance is not something you do, does it? Do you?
No.
It's a gift. You can't do anything to inherit.
You just have to wait for someone to die.
That's right. And we inherit God's grace through the death of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And that Lamb, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is none other than Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. When the angel Gabriel went to Mary and he said to her, you shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What's the footnote behind that? The purpose for his name is because he will save people from their sins. That's the mission, that's the ministry, and that's the message of what we preach, teach, and confess, that we are saved by grace alone, through Scripture alone, on account of Christ alone. All it is a gift from him, not of me. There's nothing in me that I can do.
Well, I thank you for the gift that you've given us today, Pastor Noren, this lesson. It was a great way to start Reformation Week. Bless you on your birthday. All the best to you, my friend, and God's grace is an amazing thing.
And thanks to all the saints who have called, Larry, Cheryl, and Rick, and the rest of you. And may you continue to bask in the grace of God, for it is, after all, his grace that makes us what we are. To him be glory now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to the Bible Study, Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.